During the first Sunday service of the new year, there was a woman who had experienced a miraculous healing in her body. It was just absolutely incredible, something she had been praying for years. So she wrote a note to her pastor, and she dropped it in the offering plate to tell him of her supernatural experience. I just want you to know that if God answers a prayer, and especially a miraculous prayer, please tell your pastor. We want to celebrate those things. We want to give God the glory in those moments. But as she closed out her letter, she wrote this. She said, "Pastor, do you think that God could do something about my weight problem too?" Her pastor wrote back to her the next day and he said, "Dear sister, this kind does not go out except by fasting." That's a funny joke. Happy New Year. Now that I've got your attention, I think that story illustrates kind of how many of us have grown up with the understanding of fasting, right? That it's something we fast from food, right? We don't eat fast food. We fast from food. I would love a fast of just fast food. That would be incredible. But we don't do that because we love food, right? How many of you love food? Anybody love food? Like you go to a restaurant and you immediately know what you're going to order because you love that dish so much, right? If it's your spouse's turn to cook and they cook something you don't like, you're not looking forward to dinner, right? But then if it's like your favorite thing, you're like, oh man, I can eat all of this thing. Like, what is everybody else going to eat? Because all of this is mine. We love food. So then when somebody starts talking about fasting from food, it's like, oh man, that's hard, right? That's difficult. We find comfort. We find solace. We find a lot of times identity in our food. But I believe that God wants to do some great things in 2023, not only in your life, but in the life of our church as well. I believe that in 2023, God is going to pull you deeper into your knowledge and understanding of who he is and how he wants to work in your life. And I believe that he's going to pull the people you've been praying for closer to him as well, whether it's your children, spouse, parents, siblings, or friends. God is going to pull them into a stronger relationship with him. But I also believe that in 2023, God is going to teach our church how to trust in him. That's what I believe. As I've been praying for 2023, it's okay, God, we have to trust in you. Even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it's hard. Even when it's difficult. Even when there's the unknown in front of us. We need to trust in you. There'll be situations, opportunities, complexities, and decisions that you will need to make this year. And in those moments, God is simply telling you to trust in him. So with all of these things, the start of the year is always a time to recommit to God, to grow deeper and stronger in our relationship with him. And that's why every year we start with a week of prayer, to reset and to refocus our hearts on God, right? That's what I love about the new year, is it's just this natural time in our calendar that we can all start fresh, right? All of the junk of 2022 is over, right? There's no more what's going to happen this year because it's gone. We can refocus, reset, and lean into and trust the Lord. So we start with the week of prayer. And during the week of prayer, we pray for God to work in our families, our church, and our community. We pray for people's healing, for provision, and salvation. And we're going to seek God together as a unified body of believers as he guides our year and strengthens our souls along the way. But this year, as I said, we're going to include fasting. We're all familiar with fasting on some level. Maybe you've tried fasting before in a diet, right? Maybe you've done that where it's like a detox, right? My mom had friends. They would be on like a 72-hour detox where all they would drink was liquids to detox their body, right? They fasted for 72 hours. Maybe you have fasted for like a medical procedure, right? You can't eat or drink after this time to this time. And we're like, man, that's like the worst part of the procedure most of the time, right? Because we have to fast. Maybe you have fasted intermittently to try to lose weight, right? So you only eat starting from this time to this time, and then you don't eat the other times of the day to change the metabolic rate in your system and absorption protocols in your body. We're familiar with fast on that level, but I think most of us are not familiar with fasting on the spiritual level. We understand the physical benefits, the physical struggles, the physical differences that it causes our bodies. But what about the spiritual aspect of fasting? Because all of these things are great. If you're fasting before a procedure, if you're fasting to lose weight, if you're fasting to detox your body, all of those are great things. But it's not the true purpose of fasting. You see, fasting is not just a physical act. It is a physical act that produces supernatural results. That is the purpose of fasting. It's a physical act that produces supernatural results. You see, the purpose of fasting is to deny your physical body of something like food so that you can be intently focused on the supernatural things of God. And we see this purpose of fasting all throughout Scripture, right? Jesus himself, before he started his ministry, he went and fasted and prayed for 40 days in the wilderness. He was intently focused on the Lord. God, what is it that you have for me in this moment? He says, I'm going to deny my flesh. I'm going to deny my physical pain, my physical hunger to focus on you. We see Daniel in the book of Daniel. He does the same thing, what we call the Daniel fast, right? He goes into Babylon where they're eating meat and potatoes and all of these great things, sacrificed to other gods. And he says, no, I am going to trust my God. So he fasts for 10 days where he only eats vegetables and water. And he says, I'm not going to eat anything sacrificed to these other gods. Why? Because I'm going to be intently focused on my God. And my God is going to sustain me. My God is going to deliver me. My God is going to provide everything that I need. You see, prayer is great. Prayer is awesome. But when you include fasting into your prayer and you are focused intently on what God wants to do, you will see supernatural results. It's kind of like how if you have a car, right? Where's the boom? Sorry, that was an inside joke. You didn't get it. Anyway, where was I at? A car. Imagine you have a car, okay? A car gets you from point A to point B, right? That's what a car does. But what happens when you put a turbo on the car? Or you put a little bit of nitrous in the car? Or you add a little bit of extra things to the car to make it more focused on giving you power and torque and all of these things that I'm probably saying wrong because I'm not a car guy, but you get the picture. It goes faster. You get there quicker, more intently. You are there. That's what fasting does to our prayers. It's not just a physical act. It's a physical act that produces supernatural results so we can intently focus on God. And we see this purpose of fasting all throughout Scripture, like I said, but we especially see it in Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. I encourage you to read the book of Esther. It is a wonderful book. And Queen Esther hears that the king has been manipulated into a decree that will kill all of the Jews in Persia, right? His right-hand band has come because he's mad at some people, and he convinces the king to kill all the Jews in Persia. Well, this is a problem because Esther, who is the queen, is a Jew. And so she's going to die. Her uncle Mordecai is going to die. All of her friends are going to die. The people she grew up with are going to die. And she's like, this cannot happen, right? So you would think that Esther being the queen would just march right on into the king's chambers and, you know, pull him by the ear and say, hey, this is how it's going to work. But that's not how it's going to work. Esther can't just walk in to the king's chambers. You see, now you may be thinking as well, this sounds like a physical attack on the Jews, right? The king wants to kill them. It sounds very much physical, but Esther knew it was a spiritual attack, that there was something else going on, that while they were in exile, Satan was trying to eradicate Israel from even existing so they could no longer worship the Lord, bring the light of the world into this world. Because if there is no Israel, there cannot be a future Messiah. There can be no future king of Israel. Esther knew that it was a spiritual one. So she calls her uncle Mordecai, who had already given up, by the way. He saw the physical reality of what's going around. And if you look at the beginning of chapter 4, Mordecai, he walks into the courtyard of the palace in burlap and ashes. What that means is he's in a time of mourning. He's just saying, oh, I'm done. right? Oh man, this is terrible. We're all gonna die. It's the end. How many of you know people like that? Right? Everything is always just the extreme, right? This is the most awful thing that could have happened to me, right? I don't know if I'm gonna make it, right? This is where Mordecai's at. And Esther had other plans. She wasn't going to mourn for this physical loss because she knew it was spiritual. So she knew that she needed to address the king and try to convince him that this was not actually what he wanted to do. But she also knew that if she entered the king's court without being invited, the king would have her killed. So what does Esther do? She sent this reply to her uncle Mordecai, starting in verse 16. She says, "Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa, all the Jews of town, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king, and if I must die, I must die." So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. And on the third day of the fast, Esther put on her royal robes and entered the inner court of the palace, just across from the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne facing the entrance. And when he saw Queen Esther standing there in the inner court, he welcomed her and held out the gold scepter to her. So Esther approached and touched the end of his scepter. If you continue to read the story, you see that Esther, through an interesting way of events, she convinces the king that this is not actually what needs to happen, and all of the Jews become saved. You see, Esther knew that this physical situation she was placed in, the death of all of the Jews, even the death of herself for entering the courtroom of the king uninvited, could only be resolved supernaturally. That was the only way. So many times we see physical issues in our lives like, man, I don't know how I'm going to provide financially this year because my business just didn't do well this year. Or our personal finances, we just have too many medical bills and all of these types of things. Or we say, man, I don't know how my marriage is going to last any longer because I just don't see the work being put into it that needs to be done. Or even a physical issue in your body. Man, I don't know how God is going to heal me, how I'm going to get over this. The doctors cannot figure it out. Esther knew that this physical situation could only be resolved supernaturally. So she went to the throne of the king, but before she went to the throne of the king, she went to the throne of the King of Kings. She fasted. She had intently focused prayer and time to seek the Lord, the King of Kings. And before she even spoke a word to the king about her plan, she spent 3 days speaking to the King of Kings. Esther knew the importance of fasting at this moment, and she knew that this situation was bigger than she could conquer on her own. So she asked the entire population of Jews in the city to fast with her. This morning, I'm going to ask each one of you to join me and our leadership team in a week of fasting, because there are some issues in our church and in our community and in your families that we need to intently focus on at the beginning of 2023 to ensure that they do not continue into the future of 2023. And we can't do it on our own. That's why God has given us a community. He's given us a church to come alongside and say, hey, we are going to be in this with you. We're going to hunger with you. We're going to thirst with you. We're going to feel the pain with you. And we are going to focus intently on the supernatural power of God together with you to see God do what only he can do in this situation. We'll talk about the specifics of the fast in just a moment, but I want you to understand that there are real supernatural powers at work in your family and in our community and world that want to destroy your soul and the soul of your loved ones. Not only that, but there are physical needs, healings, provisions, and wisdom that we as a church need coming into 2023. And I truly believe that if we boldly come to the throne room of God with prayer and fasting, God will be sure to supernaturally work in our lives. So you may be asking, well, why include fasting, right? Don't I boldly approach the throne room of God with my prayers anyway? So why do I need to fast? Well, like we said, it fast tracks your prayers, focusing intently on them. So, fasting is about having an intense focus on the spiritual matters around you. This is what we're going to do for the next week as a church. When you fast, you're saying to yourself that right now, nothing else is more important to me than praying for God to supernaturally intervene in this need that I am praying for. Not even food will keep me from praying. And when you deny your flesh or your spirit can grow, you will experience a whole new level in your relationship with Christ. You really will. You will not understand and comprehend until after you have fasted how close you feel to the Lord. So how is all this going to work? How do we intently focus on the spiritual matters around us so that this physical act of fasting produces supernatural results? Well, there's several different ways that you can fast, okay? Several different ways that you can actually put this into practice. Here is the supernatural guide to fasting right here, okay? The first way that you can fast is you can do an absolute fast, which means that you have no food and no water. Now, there are some very strong recommendations with this fast, okay? I do not recommend this fast for more than 3 days, right? Because scientifically, going without water for 3 days, you can die, right? Now, if you're doing it for the Lord, I believe that the Lord can sustain you, but you better believe it's from the Lord and you better consult your doctor before you do this one, okay? Wisdom and truth, amen? So there's an absolute fast. And this is what, by the way, this is what Esther calls the Jews to do right here. 3 days of an absolute fast. No food, no water. Then what we see is a normal fast in Scripture. So when you see how Jesus fasted, you know, 40 days in the wilderness, or Moses fasted, or Abraham fasted, all of these people who fast, this is typically what they're talking about. They have no food, but they drink lots of water, right? They still drink liquid, they still stay hydrated, but they fast with no food. That's what we see in Scripture. Again, if you do this for 40 days, consult a doctor. And then the last one that we see is this, a partial fast. And we see this in Scripture as well. I'm giving you all of this information so you know there's no right way or wrong way to fast, okay? If you're sitting here thinking like, man, I don't know if I can go without food for 2 or 3 days or, you know, no food in general, there are different ways to fast that we see in Scripture because it's not the act, right? It's the heart that we are focusing on the Lord is the purpose of the fast. So there's different ways that you can do a partial fast. It's limited food with lots of water, okay, is what a partial fast. And here's a couple of different ways that you can do a partial fast. The first one would be a Daniel fast, all right? The Daniel fast. You may have heard of the Daniel fast before. I think we have it on the next slide. There you go. The Daniel fast is this, is that you eat fruits, vegetables, beans, and nuts. Basically, you stay away from any type of animal product or meat, right? This is what Daniel did whenever he fasted. Whenever in Daniel, I think it was chapter 10, right? When, was it Michael or Gabriel, the archangel, one of those archangels, comes to Daniel, and he had been praying and fasting for 21 days, and he says, I'm sorry, I was in a spiritual battle over here for 21 days with this king. I just got released to come and tell you what God wants you to know, right? He was following this fast. So fruits, vegetables, beans, and nuts. I will tell you that during our corporate fast this week, this is the fast that your pastor will be doing, all right? There's also a liquid fast. If you're like, you know what? I like the idea of no food, but I got to have something more than just water, right? Well, a liquid fast, you drink, you have no food at all, no fruits, no vegetables, nothing solid, but you can drink juices, broth, supplemental shakes, water, those types of things. And then you have what's called a group or an isolated fast. And if you've never fasted before, if you're like, Pastor Brandon, you're talking about fasting. I understand the purpose of it. I want to do it, but I don't know if I can fast for 6 days. Well, a group or an isolated fast is you fast from a specific type of food. So maybe for this next 6 days, you fast from coffee. Some of you are like, I don't know about that. Maybe you fast from sugars in general. You fast from meat or alcohol or any food that you enjoy that you have on a regular basis. You say, I'm going to fast from this because when I start to crave that thing, when I start to want it, that's going to remind me that I need to take my focus off myself and put my focus on the Lord. So those are different ways that you can fast. So here's what I'm going to ask all of you to do. Starting at 6 p.m. tonight, okay, so not right after church, you still get lunch. If you eat before 6, you still get a meal. Starting at 6 p.m. tonight when we start our prayer service, to start your fast. And I don't care how you fast. I don't care which one of these fasts you do. I don't care if you say, hey, you know what? I can't fast the full 6 days, but I will fast one meal each day for 6 days, right? What? Just do something. Just do something and watch God do the supernatural. In fact, on that note, I want Karen to come up and she's going to share a testimony of her daughter who just did something during a fast and how God supernaturally provided.
I worked for a big church that had a college and a academy and a daycare and a whatnot, and we blew out, you know, we had to have two services because we had so many people coming. And so we were corporately as leaders and as a church going to fast to have the addition. We didn't have the monies for it. So that's what the leaders were praying for. So he approached the academy and chapel and told the kids that they needed to participate and they could do, like, just not eat lunch and just come into the chapel and pray. So that's what my children chose to do, is they would go into the chapel at noon, not eat the lunch, and pray. And so I did the 40 days of a normal fast. I did water. And we did the 40 days, and a couple days after that, the principal of the academy calls me and says, Jenna's skirt is too short. And Jenna had giardia, a parasite at 18 months that ate away the joints in her body, and she didn't grow for 2.5 years. She just, you know, never grew. And then eventually she started to grow, and she became a 4'8", 12, 13-year-old. Hated it because she was so short, but that's what she was. And she comes home and I said, I gotta measure you. If you got a short skirt, I gotta go buy a new one. We measured her. She went from 4'8" to 4'11" in 40 days. And of course the teenager said, I should have asked for 6. She was asking for 3 inches. In 40 days my daughter grew. It's amazing. So miracles happen, and she only fasted lunch. So she didn't do like I did, where it was just water. But she fasted, and her heart was, I hate being short. Please give me some inches. And she got them. So I praise the Lord for that.
Absolutely. You see, fasting works. Even with your children, if you say, hey, you know what? You want your children to participate with you. If it's one meal a day, or you say, hey, even just twice this week, we're going to fast one meal. Again, just do something where you are focusing on God to do the supernatural. Because when we deny our flesh and make room for the Spirit, incredible supernatural things will happen. So those are the types of fasting that you can be doing this week. You have a guide, a fasting guide. I believe it's called the Believer's Guide to Fasting and Prayer that is inside of your worship guide. If you didn't get one, we have extras on the back. And it gives you some extra detail and some things that you can look at as you go on this journey together with us as a church on the week of fasting, talking about the different types of fast. And then if you flip it over to the back, there's some things that I want us to specifically be fasting for, okay? There are things that as the Lord lays them on your mind this week that he wants you to specifically be fasting and praying for, please, please do that. And when God answers those prayers, please tell your pastor, because we want to celebrate those things. But these are things that together as a body of Christ, as a church, we want to focus on. And there's three main areas over these next 6 days that I believe the Lord wants us to focus on. The first 2 days is we're going to focus on a supernatural awakening. Supernatural awakening. So the first day we're going to be talking about a supernatural awakening in our family, right? Those of us who have family members who have not experienced the love and the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus in our lives, we are going to intercede on their behalf, fasting and praying, focusing solely that day on their salvation, for God to come and to work in their life, for their hearts to be softened, and God to do the supernatural in their life. The second day, we're going to talk about pray about a supernatural awakening in our community, right? Our community needs a supernatural awakening. We have people who are desperately searching for some type of meaning to life, some type of purpose, that they're trying to look in all of these areas, and Jesus is the answer. And so we want to pray not just for a blanket revival in our community, but for people to begin to hunger and thirst and to seek the Lord like they never have before. You see, Jesus just wants us to lead people closer to him, right? We don't have to do all the work. We just got to get them a little bit closer. And when we fast for our community to experience the love and the power of God, they will get closer to the Lord. So we're going to pray for supernatural awakening. The next 2 days, we're going to pray for supernatural restoration, right? Day three, we're going to pray for physical restoration, right? Pray for people, maybe in your family or yourself or people in our church who have a physical need that they need healed, right? We are going to pray and seek God and watch God begin to heal people who they might not even know that you're fasting for them and praying for them. But I believe that God wants to heal them physically. Day four, we're going to pray for relational restoration. Pray for maybe there's a relationship in your life, in your family that you know needs to be mended. And you have tried physically. You've tried to do all of the things. Maybe you and your spouse have gone to marriage counseling. Maybe you've tried to mend things with that distant family member, but it's not working. Well, let the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit come in. He is the mighty comforter. He's the great counselor. And watch him bring restoration into these relationships. Days five and six, we are going to end praying for supernatural provision. All right, 2023, there's a lot of unknowns going on. Inflation is crazy. The stock markets are whack. Everything is just up in the air. And so I'm sure as many of us are, we're looking at, okay, man, how is this going to affect our personal finances, right? How is this going to affect our career and our business? How is this going to affect my future and retirement and all these things? So we are going to pray on day five for supernatural provision in our own personal finances. Maybe there are some things that you need to get worked out in your finances and you need God's help. Maybe you have a goal this year to get out of debt, right? Pray and fast and ask the Lord favor to help you accomplish that. Maybe you have some medical bills you need to pay for. Maybe you just need a pay raise and you're praying and fasting for God to give you a raise or an increase in your business, or it's a new job maybe. Maybe you're praying about, man, is this the time that I need to retire and I need to step back from something? Whatever that is, pray in this time for your finances, for the Lord to come through in supernatural ways. And then day six, the last thing that I want us to pray for is corporately, is to pray for a new parsonage for the church, okay? Got some amens. Our leadership team has been talking about this for a couple of years now, actually, talking about it since before Kinsey and I even got here. And that is a heart of our leadership team, and I think of the whole church, to be able to build a parsonage for the pastor and their family. And so be praying that day for just God to give us direction and guidance on what that looks like, how we should build, if we should build, if we should buy something else, how all of that's going to work out, and then pray for the provision of the finances, right, for that to occur, to be able to happen. And so those are the things we're going to be praying for. So each day, we're going to focus intently on these spiritual matters in our family, in our church, and in our community. And we're going to watch God do supernaturally above all we could ask, think, or imagine. Amen. I hope you are excited for fasting. I hope there's some, your skepticism has kind of maybe pushed aside a little bit, because I am so excited. I was skeptic at first too, like, Lord, you want us to do what? But the more I have been focusing and preparing my heart, I'm like, man, I am so excited for what not only God wants to do through me, but through you and in our church. So throughout these days, this next week, when you start to feel hungry, you start to think, why am I doing this? Stop and pray for whatever it is you need to pray for during that day. During your lunch break or your dinner time, take that time you would usually eat and pray and seek the Lord. And let's invade heaven with our prayers and fasting and watch God do the supernatural. So we're going to be praying and fasting throughout the day. And then 6 p.m. each night, we're going to gather together corporately here at the church from 6 to 6:30 to pray together and to watch God do more incredible things. So that's going to be starting tonight until Saturday night at 6 p.m. And then at 6:30, after the Saturday night prayer, we will break our fast together as a church. There's something just so special about those of us who have said, yes, I'm going to fast this week, no matter if it's one meal or if it's a partial fast or whatever. But man, we took this time to focus on the Lord, and now we're going to get together and we're going to celebrate what God did this week and rejoice for the future of what he's going to do. So we'll do that Saturday at 6:30. We'll have do a little potluck, bring in some stuff, maybe your favorite food that you haven't been able to eat this week, and share it with everybody. And we're just going to have a great time celebrating the Lord. So last thing I will say on this is, you know, a lot of times we come to church and we love the moments in church where, man, God is just clearly moving and, man, just things are happening. We have these emotional responses that we've all had with the Lord, and those are wonderful and incredible. But sometimes the most powerful and intense moments you will have with the Lord is in the difficult and in the mundane and the things that we don't want to do. So don't short yourself this week, because I truly believe you will experience God like you never thought possible. So with that said, let me pray a blessing over all of you, and then we can go fellowship with some water and some more water, and then we can meet back together here tonight at 6 p.m. God, we just thank you so much that you are the God of the universe who hears our prayers. Lord, I believe that you are starting 2023 off on the right foot, that we are here to focus intently on you through prayer and fasting. God, I am so excited to see what's going to happen in the lives of those in our church who take this step of faith and this commitment to say, yes, I'm going to fast this week and seek the Lord for these things, for my family, for my community, and for my church. And we're going to watch you do the miraculous and the supernatural. God, I pray that this first week of 2023 will only be a foretaste of what's going to come in the rest of the year, of watching you provide, of watching you step up and encountering your presence and experiencing miracles and supernatural works in our lives and in our community. Thank you so much for giving us a guide that we can come to you and watch incredible things happen that wouldn't otherwise on our own. So Lord, may you bless us and keep us. May your face shine upon us. Be gracious to us in all we say, think, and do. And so we gather here together again tonight. In your holy, mighty name, amen. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great afternoon, and we will see you tonight for our